You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. This is the talk show that everybody loves.
You say.
Including me. It's full of fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. That's the show you're listening to. You'll hear from experts, authors, and others, and along the way, we hope to put a little smile on your face. On today's show, if you have a dog, it's the time of year when you should keep an eye on him because he's feeling mighty low. We'll tell you why and what to do about it. Plus, if you were to pick someone to teach you how to sing, who would you pick?
Oh.
President Obama is on a reality TV show, and the 10 worst places to live in America, bet you can't guess which ones are on the list. Here in the studio with me today is the host of the new show, Thrash Pie Radio, coming to a podcast outlet near you. Yeah. Considering a run for high office, it's Ted Pritchard.
Well, first of all, whether I'm an author or an expert, or I think I'm an other, I think that's where I fall in there.
Yeah.
So with all the political mumbo-jumbo going on and the College of Clowns that we appear on television, or see on television actually in debates, who do you think would win a debate between Donald Trump and, wait for it, Kanye West?
I got you. All right. Hey, if you listen to this program on iTunes, thanks for leaving a comment and a five-star review. You're helping the show by doing that because the folks over at iTunes, they, in the dark of the night, read your comments and notice your five-star reviews. All right, we're going to get started. And I'm experimenting with something here today, so if I seem distracted, I apologize for that.
Well, your technical expertise is just, it's amazing.
It's, at the moment, it's lacking.
It's working.
Yeah. All right. Fine. Well, thanks. Yeah, I'm trying this, we got a new phone. My wife and I both got this Samsung Galaxy S6 Edge Plus.
It's bigger than the iPhone 6, I can tell.
And the camera is something special. I mean, it looks, I haven't really looked at the specs. I don't know if it's 4K, but it certainly is crisp and clear.
I've heard that it's 4K.
And so I'm using it right now, and there's a button on there. When you do the video, it says live stream. And you press the button, and you can invite people to watch your – I'd like to be able to do this for everybody. And maybe if you'd send me an email, I could invite you to watch it.
But, oh, cool.
But we've got the audio. I don't know if it's pumped up yet. I put the audio from the control board, and our executive producer, Mike Stark, he's going to send it in there so you could hear everybody who's on the show.
Actually, I think he's sending hate mail at the moment.
Is he?
He's
kind of
trying to figure out
so it's just spectacular to think about. Just a few years ago, if you were to say, all right, I want to stream some video on the internet.
Everybody goes, huh?
What a proposition that would be. Thousands of dollars for the bandwidth and the server and all of that. Now all you need is a good phone and a YouTube account, and you're good to go.
Incredible. And no buffering?
Remember nothing.
Buffering?
Oh, yeah. Oh. It's instant, and it looks like it's in HD. I actually look like a wow. I look like that. All right. So, what do you say we get the show started, Ted?
Let's rock.
Always great to have you here. And it's interesting this whole presidential thing here. You call it a circus and bozos and all that sort of thing. And,
I do.
You know, it's whatever it is. It's a forum of ideas, and bozos have ideas too. And there's a new name that I don't know that he even considers it. I bet he believes he could do it. But
I'm sure he's quite sure he could do it. And, you know, mostly what really comes to the forefront are the egos.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, obviously, Mr. Trump has a pretty huge ego.
Huge ego. It's huge.
Pretty huge. But, you know, easily compared to his would be Kanye West.
Oh, of course. He believes he is the most important person on the planet.
He believes that he's doing everyone a favor by sharing his talents with the world.
Yeah.
I kind of wish he would unshare for a while. You know, he'd just unclick that share button on whatever he believes he's thinking.
So I'm lucky to have heard his music, in other words.
That's correct. And I have really no idea what his platform's going to be. But you could just imagine how the two of them, just by themselves in what you call it a debate, it'd be probably it's just a one-upsmanship for a couple hours.
Yeah.
That's how that's going to work.
Just turn into a shouting match.
So what would his platform be? What would it be?
Kanye's?
Free school?
I don't know. Yeah,
I'm
probably
serious.
Free stuff.
Free stuff.
Yeah, just free stuff. And what people don't realize is free stuff is expensive.
Yeah, free stuff. Yeah, that's what he's not considering. Yeah, I understand he's opening a clothing line.
Oh.
I've heard that. You know, rumored. A friend of mine worked in a studio up in the valley, and next door, Kanye moved in.
So that could be a slogan, a cardigan in every closet.
Right. The Kanye cardigan. I got it on, pal.
Yeah.
Vote for me.
So he's not really running for president.
I don't know. He says Kanye, he's, I don't know, if you can't declare that far ahead of time, but he's talking about 2020.
Yeah.
So he can't get in it this time. I think
he's got to get a little more seasoning, and perhaps a little more wisdom. A couple million more record sales.
Yeah, probably. Right.
All right. I did read that there's a guy out there that bought the domain name. You know, internet, a domain name is when you type the little address in the address box in your browser on your computer.
Gotcha.
And the website shows up. Well, somebody bought the domain name, KanyeWestForPresident.com.
That guy's an investor.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing.
He knows, yeah.
And Kanye's going to need that one.
Yeah. Now, those folks over at Ashley Madison apparently knew what they were doing, and you were saying that it sure seemed like a scam to you, that maybe there weren't anywhere near the number of hot ladies looking to...
Well, that's what we determined the other day. Of the 32 million listeners, we determined that like 12,000 of them were registered as females.
Yeah.
So it's like 2,500 to 1 that...
Yeah.
You know, you go on if you're a guy and you're going to get, what do you call it, a date or a hookup or whatever it is. Well, Ashley Madison, the whole story is just the gift that keeps on giving. There was a fellow that anonymously registered on the site, obviously to, you know, make a contact and get a little action.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what you're doing?
Yeah, sure. Action.
Right. So he had his profile. He went all out. And he was quite honest about it. And he said... I am ugly. I'm 4'9". I look like a troll. I got a wart on my nose. I have AIDS and Ebola. And guess what?
What?
He got 15 responses. You are the man of my dreams. Is that awesome?
That is awesome. So, and it is also bogus.
Yeah, of course it is. So think how many bogus, you know, responses are flying around out there.
Yeah.
And guys, probably like me, if I ever signed up, which I did not, that are too chicken to follow up on. Oh my God, there's a woman that really wants to hook up with me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, there's no way. And you know what? Now, everything's too good to be true sometimes. You think, oh, this is great.
Of course.
You know, I'm going to sign up for this thing. I'm going to get a little something on the side.
I'm going to make money at home.
Nobody's going to know anything about it. Yeah. And then hear what happens. Somebody hacks, puts your name out there. You're on a list that anybody could look you up. And if you're a public figure, all of a sudden you're on the news.
Sure.
And
you guys are committing suicide.
Yes. Too good to be true. All right. Another thing that may be too good to be true is trusting your friends and family to pay you back if you lend them the cash.
What do you think your percentages are of being paid back if you lend money to family or friends?
I'd like to think it's pretty good. Maybe, I don't know,
70%? Of course, it depends
70%?
On the person. No, not close. Maybe
50%. Oh, really?
Is that something?
Yeah.
So if you're going to lend money to your brother or your cousin or, you know, a good pal. I lent money to a guy I worked at a radio station a long time ago.
Yeah.
Guy came to me and said, look, I need some money. It was a couple $100.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, at the time, I barely had a couple $100 spare.
Yeah.
And I lent it to him.
Uh-huh.
And I got back about $60. He'd pay me back $10 a week for a while.
Yeah.
And then it just that stopped.
Yeah.
So you 50%, you're lucky to get some of that money back.
Wow. That is bad. That is real bad.
You might as well just figure, if somebody's going to ask you for money, give it to them and forget about it.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think if there's any family I can ask for money right away.
And then they'll forget about it pretty quick.
You ever watch that TV show, Bear Grylls, Running Wild?
He's one of your favorite guys.
Yeah, I love that guy a lot because he can just go out there, jump out of a plane and survive. And he's always eating animals and, you know, not the good tasting ones, you know, like an uncooked lizard or a frog or, you know, whatever it is he can eat. Just to get some protein in his body.
Well, you know, women love that guy.
Really?
They think he's incredibly handsome.
Because he strains his own urine out of a T-shirt and drinks it?
Yeah. And Michelle Rodriguez is also. So
oh, that I saw that episode.
He goes that way.
Yeah. He put some of hers in a pot, boiled it up, and stuck a mouse in there. Mouse soup.
Ooh.
And, yeah.
I can't even believe it. Oh, my.
Well, you won't believe who's going to be on that show with Bear Grylls in an upcoming episode. And that's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsakall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsakall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsakalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for tuning in. It's Bill Hewlett and friends. A little later in the program, El Nino and your vacation plans. Now what? Now what are you going to do?
Yep.
You know, is it all ruined? Well, it's getting to be near the end of his two-term presidency, and President Obama is starting to look at things that will solidify his legacy forever, and one of them is... going on the show, Running Wild with Bear Grylls.
Oh, that'll do it. You betcha.
It's a show where Bear teaches people how to survive in the wilderness by doing things like drinking their own pee.
Correct. And I wonder if the president is going to indulge.
Apparently that's in the rider. No pee drinking. Mm. No presidential pee will be sipped. Now, Obama and Bear will head to the Alaskan wilderness. Perhaps the president will swing through Denali and officially christen Mount McKinley.
Put up a neon sign.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're protecting the... Well, that's the whole thing. The whole pitch is it's an environmental thing.
Yeah, he wants to highlight the effects of climate change by going into the Alaskan wilderness. They didn't say whether the spokespeople, that is they, White House spokespeople, didn't say whether the president will be swinging through Denali, the mountain that he just renamed. The episode will be taped to air sometime later this year, but only if the shoot doesn't interfere with the president's busy schedule of nonstop vacations and constant
and
golf.
Fundraising.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, but Bear Grylls, you know, you've been hot on him for a long time.
Yeah, that guy's great. I love when he jumps out of the plane and he's got to find his way back. And, you know, after the first couple of seasons, people were complaining that, hey, you know, he's got a TV crew and a doctor and a net. And when the cameras are off, he probably goes into a trailer. And so they had to put some disclaimers in there that Bear Grylls may from time to time receive some assistance.
May get a shower from time to time.
Yeah, right. Especially if he's going to meet up with somebody.
Right.
Yeah. You know, this while we're on the celebrity thing. It seems like it's a big trend these days at high schools to invite the celebrities to come over to the high school prom.
Actually, I think it's pretty cool. You remember, what's his name? Oh, God. Justin Timberlake. He did this a couple of years ago.
Oh, he went on a date.
Went on a date with she was portly.
Yeah.
This girl.
Oh, right. So she
calls Justin Timberlake, and he went. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was off like a prom dress. I wonder if they lived up to that.
Yeah. This is a new twist on the fad of asking celebrities to dances and proms. Kerman High School, this is in Central California, in a city outside of Fresno, if you know the area. It's beautiful. It's park-like, Fresno is.
Yeah.
And they invited Tom Hanks to show up at their homecoming dance. Kerman's a small community of about 14,000 people. Apparently, homecoming is a huge deal for the whole area.
I bet. Probably only about 700 or 800 kids in the whole high school.
Yeah. The school's assistant principal said this, "Our pie-in-the-sky dream would be for him to come be our grand marshal, but even a personal shout-out on social media or a 15-second video would be great." All right, so they have a backup plan.
I bet he goes.
Yeah, I think he might. So the kids at the school started a social media campaign to get Tom Hanks to come with the hashtag #TomHanksToKermanHC, and it actually got Tom's attention. He tweeted, quote, "Gear up, Kerman High School for homecoming. I'm working on something for the festivities."
Whoa,
Hanks, H-A-N-X.
That's pretty cool.
Apparently, that's the shorter version, so you can get it all in 140 characters. You have to, instead of H-A-N-K-S, it's H-A-N-X.
H-A-N-X.
Which is the way the kids spell it anyway.
Well, his son, you know, is a great actor.
Yes, he is.
I've seen him in Fargo and a lot of other things. I had no clue that it was his son, but anyway.
Yeah. All right, fine. Well, we continue to keep track of what's happening on the high school scene. And I don't know. We've talked about dress codes. We've talked about having kids wear uniforms. We've also talked about, how are the guys supposed to? We were guys in high school, and we could barely concentrate with the way the girls were dressing back then. But now there's a lot of nakedness going
on. It's incredible. And yeah. I can recall, my son graduated from high school last year, but I can recall taking him to school and looking at some of the young women there.
And did you have a roll of dollars?
Oh, my God. I'll tell you what, it was. I was thinking, holy mackerel,
yeah.
these 18-year-old guys have no idea what's going on in their own school. If they're looking around and looking at the dress, and it's pretty suggestive. And this wasn't really crazy. But there's a school in Chicago where these young women are getting trouble for having bare shoulders.
Oh.
It's bare shoulders. All right? That's the requirement, that all shirts must have sleeves.
Okay.
Now, cleavage is okay, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess a bare midriff up to the bra line is okay.
Oh.
I guess Daisy Dukes, tight enough to, see around the world is good.
Show off a little yam?
Absolutely.
Is that it?
All and, right. But bare shoulders are completely out. They're out. And your theory about
I have
that
an idea why that is.
Correct.
I think I know. Well, when you think about the way the school is set up, the if you're an authority figure, a teacher, a principal, whoever it is,
right,
and you want to get somebody in line or you just want to get somebody's attention, it's just you're not supposed to put your hands on the kids these days, no
Boy.
Matter what. There's no corporal punishment, whatever it is, but not even a pat on the back, no touching whatsoever. But your inclination is when you walk up to somebody from behind, you want to get their attention or you want to get somebody to step in line if they're a little disorganized,
right,
is to put your hand on the shoulder.
Yeah.
Now, if there's no material, then it's a creepy adult, hairy, sweaty hand on nubile skin-to-skin
exactly.
activity.
And, we got a litigious bunch of people out there. And so as much as it is a dress code inhibiting kids' behavior, it's probably a liability.
Yeah, because as a teacher, I think you know better that if you want to get somebody in line, you're not going to grab cleavage or yams or midriff to do that. You're going to grab shoulder.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, that's real. I mean, you're not going to grab somebody by the hair either.
It is bizarre. When I was going to high school, back before the days of electricity, the dress code was actually very strict on young men and young women.
Yeah.
So the dresses for the girls had to be below the knee, if you can believe that.
Wow.
And they had to be dresses.
Yeah.
There was no such thing as bare midriff then.
Did they show ankle?
They showed some ankle.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a Mormon-esque thing.
Kind of Bobby socks?
Ankle going on. No Bobby socks. It was almost. But
the socks with little pom-poms on them?
But check it out. We had to have, we couldn't have what were called pegged pants. Your pants couldn't be tight, and particularly down the calf, down towards the ankle. And you couldn't wear real pointed shoes.
Really?
What we call roach killers.
Oh.
Yeah. Couldn't wear pointed shoes. Yeah, it was weird.
What's the matter with your
Very
school?
Weird. And you had to have, you weren't supposed to have what was called then a beetle haircut.
Oh, yeah.
Your hair was supposed to be pushed out
so
of your
face. So
that's
about, 1967 or so?
68, 69.
Yeah, yeah.
All correct.
Right. Well, you'll be able to relate to this then. Refinery29.com went through every Golden Girls episode to determine who got the most action.
I wasn't back that far. Thank you very much. Ooh, I didn't do any prune jumping.
They counted every sexual encounter, date, and mention of a current or former boyfriend from all 7 seasons of the Golden Girls. And it actually adds up to a lot more action than you might think. And here are the results. Blanche.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Is that Betty White?
No, Blanche was the Southern
Belle. Yes.
165 men, including a husband and unspecified partners in season 6. She said, quote, "Let the record speak for itself. I have had 143 relationships." That's how she said it. Dorothy. Which one was Dorothy? Dorothy was B. Arthur.
Okay.
Was that her real name?
Oh, no.
What was the actress's name?
B. Arthur.
B. Arthur. Dorothy, 43 men, including a husband.
Phew.
Rose, which was Betty White.
All right, there you go.
30 men, including a husband, but 86 if you include old boyfriends with whom she did not have sex. In season 7, she said that she had 56 boyfriends before her husband Charlie, though she was a virgin on her wedding night.
How about the old lady?
Sophia. Sophia, she was sleeping around too. 25 men, including her dead husband Sal. That also includes two other marriages and one engagement.
Oh, you know, you gotta have a pretty open schedule in order to sit around and think up what those old broads are doing.
A lot of time on your hands. You're not going to schools to check to make sure all the young ladies are wearing sleeves on their shoulders.
Not checking midriff. You're not doing Little League or any of that other stuff. You're sitting around doing nothing.
Now, let me ask you this. If you really wanted to learn how to sing, would you, and you thought about a pop star teaching you how to sing, someone that really had some skills and could noodle with the best of them.
Okay.
Well, does the name Christina Aguilera come to mind?
Absolutely, yes.
She's a powerful singer, can hit notes, she can improvise, she can do all kinds of things, perfect pitch.
She's what I call, she's always perfect pitch. She's what I call, it's vocal gymnastics. She can scat with the best of them.
Yeah, now, Christina apparently is going to teach an online singing course through a website called Master Class. Courses cost $90 and include video lessons, interactive exercises, learning materials, and workbooks. Now, I don't know if you're on live. Let me read through this
I was wondering.
Christina says she will share all she has learned about her craft with the world and connect with her fans.
Oh, so she's Kanye.
Yeah, so if singing's not your thing, Master Class also offers acting instructions from Dustin Hoffman, tennis lessons from Serena Williams, writing from James Patterson. He's the guy who wrote the Alex Cross crime novels. And upcoming classes include photography with Annie Leibovitz and performance with Usher.
Wow.
How about that?
I'm floored.
Yes.
I'm signing up.
Hey, we've already done a half an hour on this program. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
I have no idea how things pass so quickly. But coming up next, another type of selfie that actually has some practical uses when things don't go so great in your relationship.
Yes, may be one of a kind.
That story and a whole lot more coming up next on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All righty, why don't we do this? Some more of the show, Phil Hewlett and Friends.
Yeah.
Added.com, and you're at our website where you can enjoy several different things on a regular basis, including subscribe to the program.
There you
are. So you never miss a single show. Why don't you do that? Thank you very much. All right, so the selfie actually can have a practical purpose. Is that right, Ted?
Those things drive you nuts, you know. The selfie, I used to do them with a little film camera with the Canon SureShot. You remember that?
Yeah, sure.
But you got to wait 2 weeks to see it.
Right, got to take it to the photo mate.
And then whoever's with you say, why do you take those pictures like that? They look terrible. Well, anyway, so with phones and digital photography, boom, boom, you got them, and you can email them. You can do anything you want. You can prove that you're standing on the edge of the Grand Canyon, almost ready to jump.
Yep.
And go that way. But this is an application that I really hadn't thought of. This couple in Alberta, Canada, stepped out of divorce court, just finishing signing the papers, splitting up their marriage, and sent a selfie with the following, text message to go along with it, that we've decided to part ways amicably for the benefit of our children. They're both smiling like crazy. Big, I mean, you can see like horse teeth in these pictures.
Yeah.
So this is, they send a selfie to let everybody know they got divorced.
Oh.
Not something you think about using, the selfie image for right off the bat. But it's to their credit if they're not going to, get axes and chase each other around or anything, or strangle each other at the, because, there's a lot of, they do have children going to school.
Yeah.
So they have, there's a lot of parent-teachers meetings to go to.
Sure.
And you're gonna, and let me tell you something. You got nothing, I have sat in assembly, in an awards assembly for my son next to my ex-wife, his mother.
Yep.
And we're very friendly, actually, get along real well. However, everybody walking by knows, of course, that we're not married, and they look at you like, those people should be strangling each other.
Yeah, right.
Why are they even smiling and talking about something?
Yeah,
so,
anyway,
that's a selfie for you.
Right. Speaking of marriage, by the way, the number of people having quick weddings in Las Vegas has dropped by 37% over the past decade. from 128,000 in 2004 to 81,000 last year.
I wonder if it's just because traffic to Vegas has probably dropped a little bit with, you know, bad economy.
Yeah.
People don't have as much money to blow.
It could be.
And
well, what's it cost? Maybe they just need to lower the price a little bit.
Cheapen out, make it competitive, doggone it.
Yes.
I'll marry him for $10.
Why the heck not?
I'll go online. I'll get one of those, you know, phony preacher certificates.
Mm-hmm.
I'll marry him right here.
Yeah. You have one of those Vine accounts?
I do.
And have you done anything fun with it yet?
My son usually does fun stuff with it, and he's actually quite good at it. And there's a guy, now that you bring this up, there's a guy, his name escapes me. However, this guy's early 20s.
We'll just call him Ed.
We'll call him Ed Ed the Viner.
Okay.
All right, he's, as opposed to Weiner. This guy is extremely athletic. He's obviously some kind of a dancer, gymnast, something. He's made a seven-second Vine of him doing perfect splits.
Oh.
He'll go up, stand at a bus stop,
yeah,
tap a guy on the shoulder, and the guy turns around and just bang, drop right down.
And a Vine is only, how long, 7 seconds?
7 seconds. So he's got like five cuts in the 7 seconds. I mean, boom, he can just drop like that. And people look at him like,
that's got to hurt.
Call a doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Vine guy. Tremendous.
All right. So just you don't know the name, and so
you
have to...
You call it the Splits guy. That's what he's called.
The Splits guy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can search that one.
A nice cold splits.
Ooch.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Just a little program note. Coming up in just a little bit, it's that time of year when your kids are going to school, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Who do you think in the family really hates that more than your kids?
Me.
Yeah? You hate it?
No. Yeah, because I'm alone. I'm alone. Alone again. Oh, now what?
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, later in the program as well, the 10 worst places to live in the United States. And I could tell you, out of the 10, two of the cities are not in the South.
Wow. Wow. All right. Well, I'd be interested here. I've lived all over the South, so I'll...
Might be able to...
I can attest to that.
Yeah, okay. Now, from the What Were They Thinking folder or file, I have no idea how this happened without a single person saying, wait, this is a terrible idea. The Auschwitz concentration camp in Poland is now a memorial and a museum, and it gets a ton of visitors who come to see its history and hopefully gain a deeper insight into the horrors of the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. So that's a great place to go for that. It's probably palpable when you go there. Approximately 1 million Jews were killed there, most of whom died in gas chambers. They were forced into, quote-unquote, showers.
Yeah.
When they got to camp. Then they were locked in, and the poisonous gas was released from the ceiling to kill them.
Ugh.
Well, the people who run the memorial there just installed mist showers at the entrance to keep visitors cool.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Yeah, temperatures there in the summer in the 90s.
No. Oh.
Again, nobody stopped and said, no, wait a minute, that's a terrible idea. Yeah, nobody.
Yeah, from top to bottom.
Yeah. Nobody in the organizing team made the unfortunate connection between having misters at Auschwitz for millions of visitors and the gas chambers that killed millions
They were
of
watching NFL football. They got those misters going
And
on.
It doesn't look like they're going to remove them either. They posted on Facebook yesterday, quote, the safety and health of visitors are our priority during this period of extreme heat.
Ugh. Well, I don't know how much actual misting is going to help you with your dehydration. You need to drink that water.
Yeah, I think so. And it's a little like you need to stay cool is akin to you need a shower. if you don't mind me saying.
Am I being
insensitive? No, I hope not.
Correct.
Another thing that Hollywood is becoming sensitive to, and we wonder how many years the NFL has left on this planet. Because clearly there are forces going... at it as the sport is making more and more people addled in the brain at an early age.
Well, it's beyond it goes way beyond, you know, the Players Association. It seems like for the last couple of years, and there are people who would attest that the NFL is under direct attack by special interest groups and so forth, whether they're in the medical industry or the pharmaceutical industry, I don't know. But Will Smith... And Hollywood is behind this, obviously, because a Will Smith movie is going to make some money.
Oh, sure.
There is a movie coming out. It's going to be around Christmas time, and it's called Concussion. And it deals directly with this whole idea of head injuries to NFL players. Actually opens Christmas Day.
That's a terrible name for a movie. How the heck is anybody supposed to know what it's about?
I don't know. But, you know, this is going to be, you know, this is going to be one of the big things. A lot of the NFL players have been diagnosed, you know, early onset dementia, which is not, this is not funny.
No.
You know, but.
And it's not a funny movie.
Probably not. Yeah. You know, I saw a little bit of the clip and I recognized Will Smith in it, but, you know, they're seriously going to want to redesign the helmets. They want to they're already rewriting the rules, you know, about spearing and all that sort of thing. So this is an issue that they're not, this is not going to go away.
You know, there's a lot to be said and to be considered about the helmets, as hard as they are, that when you look at rugby.
Oh, my.
And those guys are slamming into each other, but they know well enough. At least they try pretty hard not to have use their head as a weapon.
That's right.
Without a helmet.
Whole different you know, technique and tackling. They you know, slide their arms down the guy's waist and it trips him, as opposed to you know, come screaming in there with your head first and try to knock the guy's brains out.
So there may be something they could learn from rugby to make American football safer. And perhaps we need to go back to those old leather helmets that they had in the 1930s and
40s. Oh, yeah. And lots of mud.
Lots of mud. All right. It is back to school time, of course, and the kids either love it or they hate it. But I'll tell you who really hates this time of year and is downright depressed about it, probably sitting with a nice big dish full of ice cream right now. Your dog.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ice cream for my dog?
Maybe not. But, you know,
my
similar treat.
Ice cream, yeah,
similar
loves.
Treat. Whatever it is that your dog loves and will eat way too much of it if you give it to him or her, because it's, your dog is just feeling low. So we'll explain or find out together why it happens and what you can do about it with an expert who knows all about it next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Thanks for tuning in. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. Back to school time is stressful for everyone, including the family dog that's gotten used to the whole summer routine. And joining us live is the author of several books, including From Needles to Natural, Learning Holistic Pet Healing, and What's for Dinner, Dexter? A book about home cooking for your dog. It's the radio pet lady, Doctor of Veterinary Medicine, Dr. Judy Morgan. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Always great to hear from you. And dogs, they get a back-to-school funk, don't they?
They do. They're so used to having the family around and the kids to play with and all the neighbors in the neighborhood over, and suddenly they're home alone.
You know, you don't think of your dog as having that kind of awareness and consciousness, and it seems like their attention span is so short that as soon as the kid leaves for school, there's going to be something else to take up the dog's time. And why does that not happen in this case?
Well, what's going to take up their time? Most of them, you know, if you were to put a video on your home all day, you'll find that most of them sleep.
Yeah.
But there are some of them that have horrible separation anxiety. And so when you leave and you come back after that first day away from home, you find destructive things all over the house where, you know, maybe they found, you know, your favorite pair of shoes and they've never touched them before, but they're missing you. So they want to get close to you. And so what do? They chew up your shoes because they smell like you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that explains a lot. Now, what can you do to help your pooch through this?
Well, you know, it's best if you kind of start early, you know, before that first day of school, kind of getting them used to being home a little bit. And I find in my practice, a lot of people at the end of the school year, they'll get a new puppy because they say, oh, well, we're home for the summer. The kids are home. They can help feed and walk and all that kind of stuff. And it's a great project. And so the puppy has never been left alone. And now all of a sudden you kind of go, uh-oh, we never trained him to be by himself. So, you know, if you haven't done any prep work ahead of time, it's going to be a little bit tricky. But if you have an older dog who's been used to having you home and they're kind of okay being left alone, it's still a long day that first, you know, it's kind of a shock that first week when everyone's gone. So, you know, if your dog is used to being crate trained or in a confined space, leaving them in that confined space might make them actually feel more confident and more secure.
Really?
If that's something that they're used to. A lot of my dogs were crate trained when I rescued them, and when I would leave them out, when I would leave the house, I would come home and find that they had had accidents in the house and, you know, kind of upset water bowls and, you know, just made a general mess. And if I left them in their crates, they would just curl up and go to sleep because a dog in the wild is a den animal.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of their bedroom. So the crate's not that punishment place. It's their bedroom.
Yeah, that's odd. I've noticed that about our dog. We have a small dog who doesn't like car rides and seems like it believes wherever we're going, it's not going to enjoy the outcome. like it's going to get its claws clipped or
never
something like that.
Take him for ice cream.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And so there was one trip where, and I forgot why, but we put the dog in the little carrier, the little crate thing, and she crawled right in there, turned around, and took a nap while we were driving instead of whining and whimpering the entire trip.
Exactly.
There you go.
Because you took her bedroom with her.
Yeah, how about that? But see the weird thing with our dog is that she very rarely ever sees that. I mean, we only bring it out for rare occasions.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
But somewhere in her subconscious, she must have remembered it was a safe place.
Right. So that's her safe haven. So, and there are other things that you can do. So you can leave some quiet, soothing music on.
Mm.
And there are actually some CDs that are made for dogs, and they're called Through a Dog's Ear. And they're very soothing. So you can leave those playing. Or if you have, you know, cable TV with the music channels, you can find something that just has some very, very nice melodies, like a little bit of Enya or something like that.
Oh.
And so that's soothing for the dog. You can spray a little bit of lavender spray. You can...
Dogs like lavender?
Yeah, it's very soothing and calming, just like it is for us.
Yeah.
You can also use Rescue Remedy, which, you know, people think of that for themselves. It's a flower essence, and it comes in a spray, and they make them especially for pets. Some dogs will find that soothing. There are pheromone diffusers. They're called DAP diffusers, and they come in little plug-ins, and you can plug those in, and that is also very calming for the dog.
Yeah, but then when you get home to the house, you know,
and
the wife and husband, you know, nothing saucy is going to happen there if you're diffusing the pheromones, right?
No, they're dog diffusers. They're dog pheromones.
I mean, I'm just thinking, there goes the love life at home if you're diffusing the pheromones.
Maybe it'll make it better. You never know.
Well, okay, fine. Let's experiment. I don't know about that.
Let me know how that works for you.
Yeah, you were talking about that that music just for dogs, and Ted's ears perked up because I believe that's the kind of music he enjoys.
Actually, yeah, just as long as it's not too high pitched, I start howling. But the I have been told, I have not seen it because it's not available on my cable channel, is that there is a specific TV channel for dogs. Do you know anything about that? Have you heard about that?
I don't, and I know that there are videos that are sold for dogs, and there are videos that are sold for cats.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it might be entertaining for your pet, and I have to tell you, we have a lot of dogs, and I've been guilty. One of my dogs really loves to watch TV, and he barks anytime there's a dog. The dog doesn't have to make noise. If he even sees it in a commercial or anything, he leaps out of his chair and barks. So, you know, I've been known to leave the TV on, and so I go to Animal Planet, and I see what's playing.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is he's so hyped up when he sees the other animals that that's not calming.
Oh, right. Yeah, it doesn't work at all. Exactly.
My goodness. Now, when humans are depressed, we pack on the pounds.
Right.
Do dogs depress eat as well?
Well, it depends. You know, if you're one of those – actually, dogs are a little bit different. If you free feed your dogs, you know, you just leave that big – bowl of kibble sitting there, which is not a recommended way to feed. But if you do that, most pets will not eat and drink when you're gone from the house.
Huh.
Hmm. It's very interesting. I happen to have a pack of piglets that live at my house because they will eat anything that hits the floor for 30 seconds, and maybe it's that pack mentality.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that would happen at my house. But it's really interesting. For dogs who are used to having kibble sitting around all the time, a lot of them will not eat. And as soon as you walk in the door, they go over to the bowl and start eating.
Hmm. My goodness.
Yeah, be darned.
Just to spite you. Now, is when it's back to school time, if dogs go into this funk, isn't there also a psychological payoff? Because after a day or two, do they realize then that the student is going to come home and that's a huge amount of fun and they jump up on your kid and lick their face until the skin is raw? And you know, do they have a sense of that? Do they remember that payoff for more than a minute or two?
Right. So they will start, you know, once there's a new routine set, you know, within a few days, dogs are usually pretty quick learners. So within a few days, they're going to say, oh, look at that. They're coming home at the same time. My dogs, you know, they were just going crazy. We usually feed at 5 o'clock. So at 4:30, their little stomach clocks just went off a little bit early and everybody just started, you know, swirling around the kitchen.
Yeah.
They know when the school bus is about to pull up, whether, you know, the school bus has made any noise yet or not. They're all lined up at the door looking out the window and saying, okay, it's time for the school bus. So they get into the routine and they start to know and anticipate. And one of the things that owners should try to do to actually minimize the separation anxiety is don't make a big fuss about them when you come home.
Oh.
When you come home, you want to go through your normal routine, which is, you know, quietly coming in, putting your stuff down. Don't make a big fuss over the dog because then they'll start getting more anticipation every day and they get themselves worked up into a bigger and bigger frenzy till they get to the point where, like you said, you come in the door and you're being flattened as you walk in the door. You want it to be a kind of the quiet entry where it's like, okay, I'm home, no big deal, we're all good.
Yeah.
And, you know, let them kind of sit with that for a minute, and then it's like, okay, now I can say hi and pet you.
That makes a lot of sense, and so does almost everything you've been saying to us for this segment. DrJudyMorgan.com, go to the website, sign up for her newsletter immediately, and stay in touch that way. And it's a pleasure having you on. And
Thank you
gave me a couple of tips for our dog that maybe she did get depressed on the first day of school.
There you go.
Sat on the porch and had that forlorn look on her face.
Aw.
Was great for a photo op. It really was.
There you go.
Sad dog. Straight to Facebook.
There you go.
Thank you so much, and hope to talk to you again soon.
Great. Thank you.
It's Dr. Judy Morgan. From Needles to Natural, Learning Holistic Pet Healing, and What's for Dinner, Dexter, just a couple of her many books that are out there right now. So did you learn something?
Oh, I wish I'd learned about the separation anxiety thing before, because my hound, buddy, he didn't like to be alone.
My dog doesn't even know how to watch the TV.
Yeah, no.
That's not an option.
Not an option with
mine.
Not
all dogs watch.
Yeah, when my dog first came from the farm, he was, you know, a country bumpkin. He'd never even seen a mirror before. He thought that other dog in the mirror was a new pal.
Yeah.
So it was pretty comical.
Oh, boy. All right, well, that was fun, and that went by fast, as it usually does. It's a two-hour program, and it's a good thing because the first hour goes like that.
Yes, sir.
But there's so much more to come, including the Godzilla El Nino is headed our way. What about your vacation? Our travel guy will help you plan around and within
El
Nino's path.
If he can pick when it's going to start raining, you know, in mass amounts,
yeah,
he's got my money.
And how about this? Let's all go to Target and buy a round of shots. Those stories and more in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends, coming up next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, how should you plan your travel vacation with a Godzilla of all El Ninos headed your way?
Yeah.
Our travel guy has some thoughts on that. Plus, SpongeBob the Musical. You won't believe who the composers are. And work-related dreams and what they mean. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for listening. Ted Pritchard is here with me today.
Yes, thank you.
And you know him, very many of you, as Thrash Pie, your favorite guy. Always great to have him here in the studio.
Hey.
All right, so the whole thing about SpongeBob, the musical,
yeah,
is bizarre in itself.
Well, first of all, who knew that there'd be a musical with SpongeBob? But yeah, think of all the great characters. There'll be. Do you know SpongeBob?
A little bit. He lives in a clam underneath,
yeah,
the sea or something like that.
Lives in a spine. Well, anyway.
Yeah.
So SpongeBob, because let me tell you how many times I heard that.
Yeah.
You know, my son, like 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old.
Oh, he was a SpongeBob guy.
He's in the SpongeBob generation. And is it Gary Hillenburg, the guy who created it? Yes, he's a brilliant, brilliant guy, wild guy. And anyway, so that thing was a phenomenon like nobody ever expected at,
yeah,
all. So now it makes perfect sense as a Broadway show. If Billy Joel's got a Broadway show, SpongeBob SquarePants can have.
Of course.
Right?
Yes, of course.
So writing music for this show are going to be such luminaries as, ready, Quincy Jones?
Ooh.
Steven Tyler? That's kind of dirty old man territory for me.
Sure, yeah, a little bit.
And, who's the guy? John Legend.
Oh.
Now, he's great. He's real popular.
He sings a lot of love songs.
A lot of love songs, so evidently, you know, because SpongeBob... actually, Sandy the Squirrel,
yeah,
is the only really oxygen-breathing character in the whole thing.
She wears
a helmet all the time.
Yeah, it's
She's in love with SpongeBob.
Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
That's it. SpongeBob SquarePants.
Absorbent and yellow and porous as he.
Right.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So some great humor in there. My favorite, mm-hmm, character in the whole thing is Plankton. Do you know who Plankton
no,
is?
No, I don't.
Well, anyway. A lot of people do.
That Plankton's tasty.
You betcha.
Yeah.
Very good. And Mr. Krabs, you know, with the Krabby Patty. Oh, very good. That's good stuff right there, buddy.
Mr. Krabs.
Yeah. Mr. Krabs.
All right.
The penny pinching Mr. Krabs.
Yeah. So when you're driving around town, you have turnoffs. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I sure do.
I have the results of a new study on men, women, and driving. And one thing is really clear. Men and women react to aggressive drivers very differently.
How so?
Well, this new survey found that 84% of women get turned off by a guy who's too aggressive or dangerous when he drives.
Right. Well, I do, too. So maybe that's my feminine side.
Well, I mean, you're not in the minority because 52% of men say they actually get turned on by a woman who's a little bit crazy behind the wheel.
Wait a minute. Hold it.
And you hate when that happens when you're in the passenger seat.
How can you catch up with a broad like that?
I don't know. Anyway, the survey also found the five biggest driving turnoffs for both genders. Here they are. Yeah. The top five worst things men do are illegally passing other cars.
Wait, whoa.
Like passing
mean?
On the right, on the shoulder?
Oh, okay.
I don't know. That's an illegal pass, right?
Sure.
Road rage.
Oh, yeah.
You just don't have the road rage, okay? Just don't do it. Bad parking. Now,
For men, right?
Yeah. This is the top five worst things men do.
Yeah, you're cruising a parking lot, and here's a guy with what he thinks is a really expensive car, and it's probably like a Toyota Corolla from 1987, but he's got a new paint job on it.
Right.
So he pulls in and takes up two spaces.
Which is actually counterintuitive. You will achieve the opposite of what you're trying to do, because people do get upset when they see that, and they'll run their keys across the side of your car.
Man, that's some damage.
Yeah. Or they'll take a picture of it and post it online.
Right.
Yeah.
Or there's a sign. Well, never mind.
Yeah. Now, also, texting while driving. Women don't like that when the man's doing it. And making awkward three-point turns.
Whoa. Yeah, okay. Awkward ones.
In other words, jerking the head around your female passenger while you're trying to do the turn.
Gotcha.
The top five worst things women do are making three-point turns.
Yep, okay.
Taking selfies behind the wheel.
What? Never seen that.
Texting while driving.
Okay, now, yeah.
Going the wrong way down a one-way street.
Hmm.
Well, that'll get you killed.
Yeah, not a good plan.
Or worse. And bad parking.
Not as a bad parking.
Yeah. Okay,
bad
so we are similar.
Well, texting while driving, that gets me so torqued off because here I am at a stoplight. It's red.
Yeah.
The car is in front of me. It turns green. And it's still green.
Yeah.
And I'm still sitting.
Mm-hmm.
And the person in front of me, their head is down. And you know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're looking at their phone texting.
Right.
So come on.
They're texting somebody, hey, let's meet for a couple of drinks.
Yeah, can you not just get going?
And if you're in Chicago, there's an unlikely place if you want to meet for drinks.
You want a couple of drinks? Come on into Target, my favorite place. There's only one Target in Chicago.
Well, first of all, I question the logic in naming anything Target in Chicago.
that's a new twist on political correctness right there.
Right.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. It's a Target that actually has a liquor license.
Oh, boy.
So whose idea was this, I wonder, and why aren't all the franchises, indulging in such liquor licenses? This one has a bar also.
Oh.
You can get a drink.
Well, back in my day, you used to go to the drugstore and you could get a burger and a shake.
Oh, sure, yeah. That's where the drugstore was.
The Newberries or the Thrifties.
And the guy pulling the sodas was called a?
Soda jerk.
There you are.
But call somebody a soda jerk these days and you might get punched.
Shot in the chops.
Yeah.
Can't get a drink at Target? Why be a soda jerk?
But I wish somebody hit me in the jaw, right in the kisser, like we used to say. But because if they did that, you could sue and own their house and their grandma's house.
Today you could.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
All those things are possible. All right. The correct pronunciation of Mount Everest.
I'd have to guess. Everest.
It's named after Sir George Everest. He's George Everest, but somebody knighted him, so he's Sir George Everest. And he's a surveyor from Wales, or was. But he didn't pronounce it Everest. He and his family pronounced Everest Everest.
Huh. I'll be darned.
Two syllables.
He's a Welshman?
Everest. Welsh, yeah. That's how it's supposed to be pronounced. So Mount Everest.
They're tough to understand anyway.
That's how we're supposed to say it. So if you hear the smart guy with the accent on TV talking about their travels to Mount Everest, and you say, well, he's pronouncing that funny. No, he's pronouncing it correctly.
He's correct. And there's a movie coming out, Everest.
Yeah.
Seen it?
No.
Yeah, big movie.
They're going to call it that?
No.
They'll call it Everest.
They're calling it Everest, of course.
Right. Yeah.
Based on a true story.
That's a long fall. It certainly is. Wasn't there a story about a dog falling out of a building recently?
No, yes, a very small little dog, a guy named Morty.
Morty?
And it was also in Chicago. I don't know what the hell. He was at Target drinking and fell out of his four-story window. It's something like that. But at any rate, the neighbor sees the dog on the ledge. This is across the street, you know.
Right.
And runs across the street, and as Morty falls, he's under there and catches a guy.
Oh.
And, so we need to call Dr. Morgan and have him put him on the couch.
How big a dog was Morty?
Like a little Shih Tzu.
Yeah?
Right. He was just a little Shih Tzu.
I got it.
Yeah, play on words.
All right. Now, Major League Baseball has managed to buy the domain names of all of its teams. You know what? Again, a domain name is a website address.
Right.
They've managed to buy all of the domain names for all of its teams except three. You want to know which teams those are?
Well, wait a minute. First of all, did these teams not understand that we were entering the internet age and they didn't buy those?
Yeah.
Apparently. Or the Major League Baseball bought them from those guys?
Yeah, it's like if I woke up one morning and said, "You know what? I'm going to buy the domain name dodgers.com."
Right.
Because maybe Major League Baseball
it's going to be worth something. Kanye West guy with the
But I think that's what a lot of people did. And over time, Major League Baseball came to terms with the people that were squatting on those domain names.
Gotcha. Well, what possible teams could still be remaining in the Stone Age and not own their own domain names?
Well, if you want to know, you're going to have to wait because that's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot. The all-new Liquid Fast Formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, you're listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. And I know you want to know the names of the three...
I do.
Yeah. Baseball teams that Major League Baseball did not manage to buy the domain names for.
So they just couldn't bid enough money for them? Or
well,
what do you think?
There's different situations. Right. Giants.com.
Ah.
San Francisco Giants is owned by the New York Giants football team.
So what? Oh, I get
Giants.
It.
Giants.com is not available.
All right, so they have to be, what, San Francisco Baseball Giants or
well,
something?
Well, you know, I think AngelsBaseball.com is right. The domain name for the Angels.
That's right.
I don't think it's Angels.com. That's a strip club.
So, not right.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Okay. some guy told me that was the case.
Yeah. You saw that on Ashley Madison.
Yeah. Rays.com is owned by a restaurant in Seattle.
Sure, and the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah. And twins.com is owned by a set of twins here in California.
I thought you were going to say another strip club.
Who refuse.
The twins.
They refuse to sell at any price. My goodness, I think I'd have a price. Wouldn't
yeah,
you have a price?
I'd be working on one.
They refuse to sell at any price because they want twins.com.
Man.
I would sell to Major League Baseball and be set for life.
You bet I would, because they'd pay it.
I think they would. If you said, all right, we want $2 million, $1 million each.
Right.
For a stupid website domain name, I think I'd be on board
and
for
we'll
that.
We'll split it. They could just use the guys that look alike.
Yeah.
.com.
Right.
See?
Formerly twins.com.
Right. And make the twins pay for it.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah. So
they're not thinking. These guys are not investors. They're probably what?
Yeah.
Former heavy metal players?
Right.
What are they? What were they?
Now is the website domain name twinkies.com available? Because don't they call the twins the Twinkies?
Oh, sure.
They do, don't
yes,
they?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, they.
It's a derogatory
it
reference.
Is. Yes.
I think
well,
a lot of Angels fans call
it
the Twinkies.
Yeah. And maybe Hostess or whoever it is that owns Twinkies now.
Did they would get upset.
Did Hostess sell Twinkies? I thought they did.
I don't know.
They sold it to the Chinese.
Somebody bought Hostess.
Now it's lead-filled Twinkies.
Right.
Yeah. Mm,
boy.
All right. Now, we were talking about what men and women find attractive and sexy and so forth, and the opposite when driving. What do women find less attractive, nose hair or bad breath?
You want me to guess?
Yeah, go ahead and guess.
Nose hair.
All right, let's see. This is a new study. It asked women, which is a bigger turnoff, the two, which I mentioned, and it's an epic battle. 46% said nose hair, 54% said bad breath.
Okay, and pretty close.
It's a pretty good sign that you should avoid having both. So the survey also asked men how they deal with their nose hair.
Oh, weed whacker.
And here are the results. 2% say they don't have any.
Yeah, right.
They're just too young for that. 23% use tweezers.
Ouch.
That's if you want to just cry,
oh.
Right? 26% use facial hair scissors. Now, that you got to be crazy. First of all, you're looking in the mirror, so it's opposite. I'm not so great with a scissors looking in the mirror.
No, I got a pair that has blunted round edges on the tips.
Also, that you don't take off any nostril skin.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
The others, 43% of us, use a nose hair trimmer.
Like with
the
like
thing
with
that
a Kickstarter?
It just it just tickles a little bit, and it takes out all the hair.
Right.
And then there's always the, you know, you pull up to a stoplight, and you look in the rearview mirror, and you say, oh, holy cow, the front yard is in my nose. And you reach up, and you take a handful, and you just yank.
Ouch. Done it. It hurts.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, because you think, okay, the first place I'm going, it looks like snot, right? If you got those white or those blonde hairs coming out of there, it just looks like there's something in there.
Oh, man. You know, I'm not a particularly hairy guy, but every now and then, buddy, I got to get out the tools.
Yeah. Now, there are those, there's a percentage of people who are just, they just let it grow wild and they don't care.
Yeah, they just don't care. You ever gone to like a doctor's office and you're sitting around and there's a bunch of old guys in there?
Yeah.
And there's hair growing out of their ears like it looks like shrubbery.
Now, if you're skilled at it and a bit of a design guy or if, you know, fashionista or whatever the opposite is, you can connect those hairs to not only your sideburns, your beard, but to your mustache, right? You can just connect the whole thing.
You would be a piece of walking art.
Some guys connect their beard to their chest hair.
What? Oh.
You could just have a contiguous hairer thing going on.
Well, you're talking about baseball domain names. I'm still very concerned about baseball beards.
Are you?
Way too many.
Yes.
Way too many. Duck Dynasty. The Red Sox look like Duck Dynasty.
Civil War beards.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
I heard a guy call them yesterday, they call them chin pillows.
Chin pillows.
It's just horrible.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how hot that is?
No.
Oh, forget it.
Well, and plus you've got all the food in there, but everything. We just had this big hockey charity event on Saturday,
I saw some pictures.
Yeah, pictures, and you'll see some of the players that went out and played hockey, and you will notice that there was a fair amount of facial hair.
Bunch of beards on those Canadian boys, eh?
Yeah. Not just Canadians, but local local boys from Southern California.
Oh.
Out there raising money to fight cancer, which is what it was all about. I was making a little fun. It was the organizer's birthday that day. And so in the VIP dinner and auction and casino night, I called him up to the stage because they're bringing out a cake. And I made a reference to how he seemed, he looked like he was trying out for the latest wilderness reality show to be shot in Alaska, right? Because that's what those beards look like.
Yeah, to me.
Yeah.
Sure.
Do the ladies like those? I don't even know.
I don't know. I don't see how.
Yeah.
I just don't.
Because
it's like to go kiss a big thing of hair.
It gets in the way, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It smells like marmoset. Whatever marmoset smells like.
What is that anyway? Some sort of animal.
Eating at a restaurant and getting past the beard is one thing, but it does, regardless, facial hair or not, it requires a little bit of make-believe. You know, that weird and disgusting stuff that goes on in the kitchen, if you've ever worked in a restaurant.
Oh, my God.
And enough people have worked at the restaurant, and they pretend it doesn't exist when they go out and dine.
Yeah.
Right?
They forget.
Yeah.
Well, selective memory.
The Food Network just surveyed a bunch of chefs around the country, and 75% of them said that they'd seen roaches in their kitchen. 75%.
Sure. No, yeah. Yeah.
13% have seen someone intentionally mess with food that someone sent back.
Ooh.
Half have worked sick, and a quarter have used the 5-second rule and cooked something they dropped on the floor. So we say bon appetit. Here are four more secrets they revealed in the survey. One, the most popular fast food for chefs is...
Fast food?
Fast food. Chefs. Collectively, the chefs that were surveyed, their favorite fast food place is... Wendy's.
Oh, okay, Wendy's.
Wendy's. Is that the least like fast food? Is it the most pure? Is it most fresh? I don't know. Or do they just like square burgers? The definition of vegetarian is flexible. 15% say their vegetarian dishes contain at least a little bit of meat. Their vegetarian dishes have
great.
A little meat in them.
Yep.
They don't recommend ordering pasta or chicken, which are the most overpriced and least interesting things on the menu.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
Yeah,
sure.
Because that's all profit, pasta.
You
pasta,
betcha. Pasta, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And 60% wish they were celebrities with their own cooking shows, and 75% steal ideas from other restaurants' menus.
They're just myriad cooking shows.
Yeah.
You know, it's cooking outdoors, cooking indoors, cooking in the tub, cooking in the nude.
I will say that going to an expensive restaurant, and I don't mean the Black Angus. I mean a real expensive place where you're going to spend $50 to $150 per person.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
If you've ever had the privilege of going to a place like that, generally speaking, I haven't had any bad experiences yet, the food is absolutely wonderful.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, it is better than anything you'll ever taste.
Right.
If you order the right thing. You could potentially order something that is just delightful, but it's not the kind of flavor that you enjoy. I mean, people don't like things. Like, for me, I don't like okra and I don't like eggplant.
Right.
Although I do enjoy baba ganoush, which, if I'm not mistaken, has eggplant in it.
Baba Ganoush.
Baba Ganoush. And I've said that on a couple of occasions. I hit my toe in the curb and Baba Ganoush. Anyway, the fact is, when you pay all that extra money, and they don't bring you a lot of food.
That's the thing. I was going to say portion size is a little thing that I have a little bit of a problem.
But you might get five different plates brought out to you.
Well, that's true.
With five different things on.
I guess. What's the most expensive restaurant you've ever been to? Name the restaurant.
Oh, yeah, well, there's that one.
No, seriously. Can you remember?
No, I can't remember the name. I could see it in my head now, and if my wife's listening, she's going to send me a note. But it was in Beverly Hills, a famous place in Beverly Hills.
Oh, it's not Wolfgang Puck.
No, it might have been that one.
Right.
But no, it wasn't. But it might have been one of his restaurants.
I bet it was.
I'm trying to think. It starts with a P, and it's all fancy and stuff.
Popeyes.
No,
yeah,
exactly.
That's where
they make that, and I tell you, I love Popeyes.
Yeah, no kidding, I do too.
That fried chicken that they do in the that Southern style is delicious.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, very good.
Yeah, I wish I could remember. How about you? Do you remember the name?
Yes, I do. Joffrey's in Malibu.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a famous place.
Yeah.
Remember Johnny Carson used to give away tickets to it every. Uh-huh. I mean, not tickets, but you know, a couple of dinner for two every now
and
then.
Right.
I remember seeing that, and no, I went in there, you know, years ago. With my fiance at the time.
Yeah.
I was going to say A as if they were like 20.
I just remember the name of the place.
Go ahead.
Spago.
Yeah, Spago. That's Wolfgang Puck.
That is Wolfgang Puck.
That's Wolfgang Puck.
And it was remarkably wonderful.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't like his pizza, but, you know, he's all right.
Well, we didn't order pizza.
Well, he's famous for that.
Oh, he is?
Yeah. When I worked at Pirate Radio, they did a whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, and brought famous people down there, and they had Wolfgang Puck pizza. That was a big thing.
I'll tell you my next place that I got to try.
Yeah.
Famous hockey guy who played for the team I announced for, the Anaheim Ducks, Teemu Selänne, has a steakhouse in Laguna Beach.
Oh, I'm
and
going.
I'm told is no matter what you do, you're not going to get out of there for less than $150.
Wow. Okay. Well, it's probably worth a try one time. I'll save up.
Everybody says it's delightful.
Yeah, I bet it is.
Yeah. All right. So what are we going to talk about next? I'll tell you. Our travel guy joins us next. And we're all waiting to find out because if you're going to plan any travel in the West, along the Pacific, next 5 or 6 months.
Could be tough.
You've got El Nino to consider.
Yeah.
So are you going to get rained out? Are you going to get snowed out? Are you going to get attacked by giant squids? We don't know, but we'll find out when our travel guy joins us next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. You're famous. You're listening to this program.
Yay.
And we think you're great. Ted Pritchard is here with me today. I'm Phil Hewlett. It's philhewlettandfriends.com. That's the website. If you're planning a vacation, it's a particularly difficult year to do that because the weather, especially out west on the Pacific, can be just awful. If you believe what the weather guys are saying.
Yeah, people are freaking out that they don't know when it's going to start raining.
Godzilla El Nino is what they're talking about.
It could be October. It could be any time.
Now, we pulled up a map courtesy of our resident who didn't know he was our weather guy, our travel guy, Gary Warner, who joins us live now, the precipitation outlook for winter 2015-16. And you can pretty much draw a line across the country with, I believe it would be the 70, Highway 70 goes across the country, and you can draw a line from California all the way up and then it takes a sharp curve from Georgia up to Pennsylvania and New York, and just covers the nation with nothing but rain. Now, am I reading that correctly, Gary?
Yeah, you are. I mean, one of the things is that these maps kind of get to be a bit of a jumble because this is a worldwide phenomenon. So when they try to focus in on like a small area like just California or the United States, different maps will show slightly different things. But generally you're right. It's going to be if the El Nino comes, and you know, part of it is we have not had an El Nino since 97, 98. And since that time, explosion of social media, explosion of the internet. So we've got Godzilla, we've got Noah, we've got the worst ever. You know, there's all this Goddard Amaroon stuff, and then now you got people saying, ah, no, no, it's going to be El Gecko. It's not going to be anything. You know, it's going to, like the other ones, it's going to fizzle.
And by the way, just for perspective, and you may want to go back and listen to it, on our last episode, the one which you were not on, because you were on the one prior to that, we did, in fact, have one of the world's foremost El Nino experts from NOAA on the program. So everything you say is going to be compared critically
yes.
to what the
well,
experts say.
I want to make it clear that when I'm talking about a NOAA storm, I'm talking N-O-A-H as opposed to N-O-A-A, the government one. But you're right.
N-O-A-H, what does that stand for?
Noah, the flood, you know, 40
days, that guy.
40 nights.
Yeah, and the
guy.
Boat. Yeah.
I mean, that's the kind of hyperbole you're
Russell
getting about this thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I saw that. That Noah. Okay.
But anyway, you know, the reality is that you are going to have to plan your travel wherever you're going, whether it's a Caribbean cruise, whether it's having relatives come out to California, and probably not a good year to have them come out to Disneyland. And then out in Hawaii, there was a phenomenon the other day, first time ever, on Sunday for about half the day, three Category 4 hurricanes were in the Western Pacific at the same time.
Wow.
So this is big time stuff, and if it continues to go along this way, and we will know probably end of September, early October, whether it will actually be as big as it is. This could be quite a hit. And, you know, it's out of almost people's lifetime since we really got hit in 97, 98. You guys probably are old enough, I would assume.
Oh, wait a minute.
To remember there was a day in February of 1998 in which they got as much rain in Los Angeles as they did the entire prior year.
Yeah. I do remember that. And
yes.
It rained so hard where I lived in Malibu at the time that I was coming home up PCH going north,
mm-hmm.
right by Pepperdine.
Yep.
And there's a hill you go up, and down came the mud from
yes.
the side there. And
yeah.
about 100 yards in front of me pushed a Mercedes over almost into the ocean.
Yeah. Yeah. And California, Southern California especially, is built in such a way where we can't handle a lot of rain.
Right.
And there's some things that the Army Corps of Engineers and others have built in Southern California that make it, you know, perhaps they were well-intentioned, and they had some good ideas. But I bring up the Sepulveda Dam Basin.
Huh.
There's a park in the, I want to say it's Burbank, more or less, in that area. There's a park where you could be at the park, but that park really is a catch basin for water. And when it rains a lot, it doesn't really, the basin doesn't really catch anything. It spills right out onto Burbank Boulevard,
right.
Where it connects with what the other famous street is. I forget the one that goes all the way through the valley.
Ventura.
Ventura Boulevard, yeah. So at Ventura Boulevard and Burbank Boulevard,
right.
The previous year, and I want to say it was in the 80s when we had another El Nino, I was there headed to a meeting, which was on Ventura Boulevard. You make a right right after you pass the catch basin area. I was in a car on Burbank in 4 feet of water.
Wow.
Yep.
And somehow, some way, my car did not stall. I was able to actually make it to the turn signal and make a right turn onto Ventura, and
lucky
I made it to my meeting. But
yeah.
I'd never seen that
wow.
much rain,
well,
at least from face to face.
Right. That would have been the 82-83 El Nino.
That sounds about right.
Which was right after I graduated from college, so I remember it. I came home, you know, to hang out for a while, and it was a very wet winter. But there's a couple of things that are going for us locally and a couple of things that are going against us. And then I want to talk a little bit about going further afield. Going for us is that the last big El Nino, 97-98, came at the end of about 4 years of pretty good rainfall. So the amount of water that was already in the earth was pretty high. So there wasn't the ability to absorb. So that by the time the most dangerous part of an El Nino, you can get rain in October, November, December, is around January, February. Most of the disastrous events from 97-98 happened in February when just couldn't take anymore. That's when you had the mudslides in Laguna that killed a gentleman.
Oh man, yeah.
And the highway patrol officers, I think, that were killed up in San Luis Obispo. So that's the most dangerous time. Now the drawback is that we get these big hypes going, and we got a big one going in 2009-2010. Big El Nino coming, you know, prepare, batten down the hatches.
Yeah.
It's not. It was
never
it was
came. Right. Yeah.
So nothing. Now everybody says, "Oh, that's what always happens." You know, they always say El Nino is coming, and then you know you don't need to worry about it.
Yeah.
And,
you know, I believe it is coming. I've lived up there on the coast. A lot of watermen around. They've seen all this. They've lived here. Lifeguards, firemen, whole deal, and they're all you know very, very convinced that we need to be really prepared for this upcoming season.
Now, from a travel point of view,
right.
Gary, if we can move along to that, it sounds to me like you more or less want to avoid planning trips to any of the southern part of the country. So Arizona, New Mexico, Texas. Don't go to Florida, for instance, if you don't like the rain. Is
right.
that what we're saying?
For the most part, yes. But particularly, this is a bad year for anything along the southern coast, California. A bad year to have the relatives come out. Going down to Mexico, you know, Cabo San Lucas, the Baja resorts and stuff like that, not a good year to go. The kickoff of the 97 El Nino was a hurricane that slammed into Acapulco in October, and that's kind of when we knew that things were going bad there. Cruise-wise, in the Atlantic...
Sounds like discount time to me.
Well, it's always discount time during hurricane time because they never know. You always get some hurricanes. But in the Atlantic, it's been fairly strong. It could be strong again next year, actually, after the El Nino. There's sort of a circular back effect. Definitely in the Pacific, watch out for these deals. I was already the travel editor for the Orange County Register back in the 97-98 El Nino. And the most calls I got that year were from people taking these short cruises to Cabo out of L.A. And they would get out there, and the captain would immediately announce, there's a tropical storm off of Cabo. We're not going to Cabo. We're only going to go to Ensenada and to Catalina. One lady called me and said she spent 2/3 of the cruise within sight of her home in South Montana. So, you know, buyer beware and look at the, you know, acts of God are usually, they'll usually give you some kind of compensation.
How about a fishing trip?
Fishing trips, I really don't know what much the effect is going to be, except the rivers will be running much.
Well, I mean, out in the ocean, the water heats up, and so you get all sort of species of fish that don't normally come around.
Right, they come up from Mexico. That's right.
Yeah. Well, see, you guys know that, and I don't.
Yeah. There you go. You
know? But now skiing is the other big hit. Is that the problem? Is it's going to be very wet, but it's also very warm.
Hmm.
So the lower elevation ski resorts could see a lot of rain not much snow.
Yeah. Well, see, that's what I forgot to ask the guy from NOAA last week is about the snowpack up in the Sierra. When you get this El Nino effect, do you get a ton of snow up there?
So Mammoth will be huge, and it'll be Big Bear that takes a beating.
Right. I think that's probably about right, although we'll have to see. But 97-98, Mammoth did fine. Tahoe did fine. In fact, some of the best skiing in the whole country. And what you get above that area is sort of this drier weather because all the wetness has moved down. So there's a little band in Utah and Colorado that could do good, could not do good maybe. But if you start talking about further up, if you talk about Calgary, if you talk about Montana, that sort of thing, they're probably going to have a bad dry year.
A dry and cold. So it doesn't snow when it's dry and cold.
Right. Now, you know, they can make their snow up there, but it'll be very frigid and dry.
Yeah. All right. So up there, they'll be saying, for instance, in Wisconsin, they'll say, oh, it's a dry heat, don't you know?
Yeah. Big loser is going to be California, though, from a tourism standpoint. Not a time to go down, you know, camping along the coast. Not a time to have the relatives come out. A good excuse to say, hey, guys, come next year.
All right.
But we should get the
gardening guy on to find out what we should plant ahead of El Nino.
Anything that holds ground slipping away. Yeah,
ground cover. Ice plant.
Ice plant. There you go.
All right. We'll get right on that. All right.
Okay,
where are we going next week, Gary?
I think we're going to talk about student travel, which is a topic I've been wanting to talk about, and whether it's worthwhile and whether it helps your career, and whether it's fun, and all those sort of things.
Yeah, whether it creates a rift between you and your family.
Yes, or and even one that's more than just financial.
Yes, when you go off to study and you meet Giancarlo, everything goes south.
You know, in Europe, they have the break year, the gap year, yeah. And sometimes it's hard to get the kids into college because they go off and meet Giancarlo between high school and Paris,
right?
They don't want to come back to Coventry and go to college.
You know, so. Yeah, right, exactly. All right, Gary, thanks.
Right,
you've ruined my day now.
See you, Gary.
That's me.
I have three daughters at home, and that's what that's all I want. Two of them are done with school.
If my son goes and meets Giancarlo, we're in big trouble.
Yes, your son just started his college for the first
yesterday.
Day, right?
Yes, he did.
And did he ever make it back?
He made it back. Well, his second day of class was today. He had a math class. His head may have burst. I don't know what happened.
Yes.
He doesn't like math.
From everything I've heard from all three of my daughters, their freshman year was a lot easier than they expected.
Well, good.
It's the next year.
Uh-huh.
Which is the sophomore year,
yep.
Right? The
yep.
sophomore year is when things start getting more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. That way you don't get shocked and you don't quit. I think they do that on purpose. It's by design.
Right.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Right.
I hope they go easy on my boy.
Why, is he going to need it?
Well, yes, he's going to need it. Academics, no.
Oh, okay. Up next, we have tips on calming yourself, because we know you're all you're tied up in knots, and you just need to calm down.
I am.
And it's just, when somebody's upset and you say, will you please calm down? That's the last thing they want you to say. That's the last thing they need to hear. All of a sudden, you are the focus of their ire.
I don't need to be torqued off at the same time.
But now we have tips to calm yourself down without us having to say, calm down. And we have those tips next. If you'll just calm down here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. There's a website called roadsnacks.net.
Yeah.
And they're clearly not here to make friends because they just released the list of the 10 worst places to live in America.
Yeah.
And maybe you've lived in a couple of these places, Ted.
Probably.
Because many of them are in the South and you've spent a fair amount of time there.
That's unfair, but I'll go along with it.
We'll start with 10 and work our way up. Springfield, Missouri.
What? That's all right. That was okay. That kind of a borderline South.
Borderline South. That's not the South, but Mobile, Alabama is.
Okay, correct, sir.
So is Memphis, Tennessee.
Memphis isn't a bad place.
That's number 8. And a lot of people say Memphis is not a bad place.
Okay, well, what is it? What's the.
The results are based on things like unemployment rates, income versus cost of living, education spending, and crime rates. I don't see the cause and effect between education spending and good education.
I would, look at more between the gaps between the front teeth and cousin marrying.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm looking for.
Teachers' unions get mad at me when I say, well, if the teachers just got paid better, education. Well, no, if you've got a bunch of bad teachers and you give them more money, how does that solve the problem?
It does not.
No.
All right, Nashville is a cool place in Tennessee, though.
Yeah, but that's Nashville's not on the list, but Savannah, Georgia is.
Smells horrible in Nashville. Is in Savannah.
What's the problem?
I think there's a paper mill there, and I think there's some something else there, like a crab factory.
Yeah, all right. This is not the South. Rockford, Illinois.
Not at all.
No.
Now, you know why? That's a real, that's a steel town, isn't it?
Is it?
It's an industrial town.
You got to watch your stuff, or someone might steal it.
That too.
Chattanooga, Tennessee. Tennessee's on there at least twice. No, it's on there 3 times because Knoxville is number 4.
Wow. Okay, that's eastern Tennessee.
Detroit, Michigan, number 3.
Bless its heart, it's just done.
Yeah. Jackson, Mississippi is number 2. And the number 1,
I don't know Jackson.
According to, and this is not me, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just the conduit here for roadsnacks.net.
Gotcha.
Number 1, worst place to live in America is Macon, Georgia.
Macon?
Yeah.
Okay, so they won't...
They did say the best places, though.
Well, the Allman Brothers Band are from Macon, Georgia.
Here's what they like about this country. Alexandria, Virginia. Plano, Texas. and Bellevue, Washington.
Bellevue, Washington, I go with Alexandria, you know, right smack up next against Washington, D.C.
That's in what they call the Beltway, right?
That's right. Yeah. And very expensive real estate.
And it'll take you an hour and a half to drive 3 miles into the Pentagon.
And a bunch of Yankees live there, not Virginians.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
<I'm kidding>.
In pinstripes.
That was not.
Now,
yeah.
Calm yourself down, will you?
I will.
All right. And now you have, and I don't know where you found these tips, but tips for calming yourself. And
well,
what are they?
It should be a group exercise, but, you know, I couldn't be any more calm at this very moment. Tips on calming yourself down. So when you stress out with all that crazy driving we were talking about earlier.
Sure.
You pull over first, please.
Yes.
One of the techniques is to place your hands palms together.
All right.
And do somewhat of an isometric exercise and push.
Oh, that'll,
you know, press.
That'll build your bust a little bit.
A little build the bust. And yeah, it'll make them pop right out of there. Just sit, relax, close your eyes for like 60 seconds. Just close your eyes. Don't slam them shut or anything.
But just shut yourself down for a second.
Shut yourself down. Take the light out of your brain for a minute.
All right.
There's also a technique where it's called the sigh, where you breathe deeply through the mouth.
Yeah.
Like, and then,
Oh, well, that's just rude in mixed company.
In mixed company, so you make sure you do it in the can or something like that.
Right.
And the last but not least, hug yourself.
Oh, please.
I knew that.
Do that in the can, too. You do that in mixed company,
please.
And people are going to wonder, what's the matter with that
please
guy?
Please do that alone.
Will you hug something else, please? What's the matter with that guy? Right? I mean, immediately, when people are they are so judgmental.
Yeah, please. I mean, just because, you know...
Do you have tips to get people to be less judgmental?
I know. Hug yourself.
Yeah. Oh, God.
In public.
That's just sick. It's sad. It is sad.
It's desperate. It is. Think about
it. There was a desperate guy. He had a heart attack. 2 weeks ago, this guy's named Ralph. Ralph McCrory had a heart attack while he was mowing the lawn at his home in Spring Hill, Florida. That's just north of
Tampa.
That's
our Florida story
for the
day.
Yeah, we've got to get Florida. We didn't have one yet. Luckily, a group of firefighters got there just in time to give him care and send him to the hospital. But once he was in the ambulance and on his way, they noticed that most of his yard still hadn't been mowed.
Ah.
So they decided to finish mowing it for him.
That's pretty nice.
They spent about 30 minutes mowing the grass and cleaning up the clippings. Your tax dollars at work, by the way.
And stole the lawnmower.
One of Ralph's neighbors came outside, took photos, and started going viral after he posted them online. And apparently the firefighters inspired him because he told them he's going to mow Ralph's yard from now on.
Whoa!
The neighbor is.
Pretty nice.
And Ralph is in the hospital recovering. He'll do just fine.
You can imagine, it's Florida. It's probably 95 degrees.
Sure.
There's an old guy out there.
A heart attack.
Jeez. Sure did.
Yeah.
Whoa.
You might feel like a cold brew.
Oh, yeah. This Colbert guy. You know, this whole thing is really kind of out of control. Are you going to watch Colbert? Do you watch him?
I don't watch a whole lot of late night. I watch Jimmy Kimmel from time to time.
Me too.
I just find him funny.
Like Jimmy.
The other guy's intermittently funny. I find Kimmel's show to be consistently funny.
I do, too. And I think it's because he's a broadcaster. I think he's good at it.
Yeah.
You know, I just like his demeanor better. Well, of course, the whole Colbert, you know, promotion thing, I think they're worried maybe nobody's going to watch.
And I liked Letterman, and he's going to replace Letterman.
That's right. He's going to replace Letterman. Well, there's this new, it's called Colbrew. This, you know, one of these microbreweries is putting out a Colbert?
I get it.
Colbrew.
Yeah.
And printing up a whole bunch. Everybody's trying to glom onto the guy.
Well, if the show doesn't do well, the beer might.
Might. Yeah, I'm going to say might.
We need our own beer for
him
this.
Him and beer. I could have a beer now.
Yeah. We call it Faff Ale. Faff Ale. Hey, we love your comments. Click contact at PhilHewlettAndFriends.com. There's a form there. We're on Twitter, at Faff Show.
Are we done?
Yeah, we're done. Oh. Facebook.com/PhilHewlettAndFriends.
Wow.
And thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark. He's right over there. Do you see him? Our producer is Brooke Peterson, who's on vacation. She'll find out about this show later, and she'll be tense. Our production assistant is Ryan Hayden. He forgot to show up.
Where is Ryan?
Our theme song is composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Ted Pritchard and all the friends, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief.
headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.